Becker on Darren Donick and Chase on this Friday morning. We say hello and good morning to Brett McMurphy, who is a college football insider and now at Stadium covering college football. Brett, how you doing?
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Oh, we're doing fantastic here in Nashville. Just keep plugging away, trying to be safe. And it looks like we're starting to move in a positive direction in the sports landscape. We were just talking in the last segment how NASCAR is kind of the first to jump back out there and say, hey, okay, we're getting ready to start races up as we start May and golf and others. And the movement that I'm going to start with you is it seems like in the last 24 or 48 hours, I keep looking, Brett, and I keep seeing more and more college campuses or more universities saying, yeah, we're moving in the direction of having classes on campus in the fall. Is, I guess the question is, how do you get everybody on that same page? Do you think everybody is going that direction?
Well, I know what you're looking at because I'm tweeting some of the same stuff, but first off, let's look at what they're saying. They're saying we plan to be on campus in the fall. We intend to be on campus in the fall. Ultimately, though, they don't know yet. I think a big reason they're doing that is they're worried about their enrollment numbers in the fall. A lot of students aren't enrolling now because of the uncertainty. So they're trying to make these students more comfortable, if you will, to go ahead and enroll. But I don't think we're going to definitively know till mid-June how many of these schools are going to be on campus or not.
There's been, and I know I kind of feel like there's two layers to this, and I think you suspect that I'm thinking of just one and one only. But the other one, you know, the one that is you've seen around, it's happened here with Vanderbilt and other universities where people are saying, I'm not satisfied with virtual classes. I don't feel like I'm getting, you know, the education that I signed up for, the big-time money that I'm paying. And they're not happy with that. You're even seeing lawsuits or at least that word being tossed around. How much do you think that is factoring into this as well?
You're absolutely right. I think that's a big part of it is these students, these parents don't want to pay full tuition for online classes. Ultimately, that's a big part of it. You know, look, everybody wants to be back in the fall. Everybody wants to have college athletics. But, I mean, I'm hopeful, but I don't know. I just can't see everybody getting back in the fall. But I don't think we'll know for another month or two.
They have the trickier dynamic than the professional sports, Brett, as you know. So, you know, I think it's pretty clear. It seems like, you know, all the pro sports that are coming back, right, for at least for the time being, it is not with any intentions to have fans in the stands, to have, you know, fans allowed in buildings or venues. But college is a little bit different dynamic. So how do you think they're trying to work around that? Because you're going to be sending – you're constantly sending mixed messages. That's the trickier dynamic, right? We had Rick Stockstill on the other day, and he's like, how do you tell kids – it's not safe to go to class, kids. It's not safe to come to the games. But, hey, by the way, there is a game on Saturday, and he needs to tell his kids, hey, I need you to be at practice, and, yeah, we need to go hit somebody else and tackle each other on Saturday, right? I mean, that's there's a lot of mixed messages in there.
Well, I think the argument for colleges, can you play without fans in the stands? Obviously, that would be a last resort option. However, I agree with what you're saying. If you can't have fans in the stands, then you can't have students on campus. So that's kind of where we're at as far as the colleges. The NBA, the NFL, Major League Baseball, et cetera, they don't have to have 30,000 students on campus to have their season. That's why I think they're more likely to get a season going. I think college football will get one. I just think it's going to be delayed at some point.
We're talking to Brett McMurphy, outstanding college reporter for WatchStadium.com. And Brett, you recently wrote the article about geography, and you talked to a lot of ADs on how this is going to work. If certain states are at different stages, and it certainly appears that that's where it's going to be going for a long time, different states, different counties, different areas within a state opening up at different times, how are these conferences going to get on the same page when the time comes?
Well, that's a big question right now. I talk to everybody from all 10 conferences, multiple athletic directors, and the consensus is they don't know what they're going to do. But that's a very real possibility. You could have, in the SEC, you could have 10 schools that are back. You could have four that are not back. Does that mean you're going to play without those four? Does that mean you're going to wait for those four? That's an unknown right now. But I think it's unrealistic to think that we're going to have all 65 Power 5 schools back. Certainly, I don't think we'll have all 130 FBS schools back. And so what will the conferences do at that point? What if the majority, one conference official, asked me and said, what if the majority is 8-6 that's playing? Does that change things if it's 10-4 or 11-3? Those are the conversations these ADs and commissioners are having right now in case that scenario happens.
It's a great point. And as you point out in your article, the SEC and the Big Ten, for example, have schools that represent 11 different states. That's a lot of different formulas that could be at play here. So, Brett, if they're faced with this in the fall, and it seems like there's a really good chance that this could be the case, as you said, even if half the schools are ready to go and even play in front of fans, but the other half are not, then what about playing the season in the spring of 2021 where you have a better chance maybe of everybody being able to have fans? How possible is that in your mind?
I think that's, of all the options, I think that's the one they least likely want to do. But again, it's not necessarily going to be which option they want to do. It's kind of going to be determined by which option that the virus allows. And, if they can't get schools back in the fall, if you're going to have to be delayed and spring's the only option, then you got to do that, because make no mistake, it's better than the alternative, and the alternative is no football at all. So would they want to play in the spring, go up against the NFL draft and a myriad of other issues that are going to come up? Absolutely not. But if it's don't play football and lose all that revenue or play in the spring, they're going to play in the spring.
How about this? I thought this was an interesting quote. You had some athletic directors who wanted to be more frank with you and not give their name at the time, but one Power 5 AD saying, those that don't play probably won't get their full share of media rights revenue. So that would be a very difficult decision to make if you felt it was the right thing to do to not play, but yet you would be sacrificing a lot of money for your athletic program. I wouldn't envy the person in that position.
Yeah, and certainly that's one of the considerations that these athletic directors and conferences are going to have to make. You're right. One AD said no, the schools that don't play would not get their share of media rights revenue. I talked to another AD from another Power 5 conference who said, yeah, absolutely they would get it. And the example they gave is you have schools that don't make the NCAA basketball tournament. You have schools that don't go to bowl games, yet they still share in the conference's revenue in that way. So certainly it's not like these schools are just saying, hey, you know what, we don't feel like we have a good enough team this year, we're not going to play. It's obviously something much more serious. So I'm sure it'll get worked out, but like everything else, as you guys know, everything else involving life and especially college athletics, it comes down to the money. And they'll figure it out somehow, some way. But some conferences may have different stances. Some conferences may give 100% of the revenue to schools, programs that can't play. Other may cut the revenue down to 75%. It's kind of, it's kind of like how we had the different revenue models when we had a lot of conference expansion. Teams coming to new conferences, the Big Ten, those schools took several years before they got a full share. Other conferences gave their new members a full share right away.
You've got some amazing quotes in here. Well, you got one athletic director saying the schools that can play will play. So that's an interesting one to me, with college football schedules sometimes being set, years in advance. how would you do the schedule if you've got some teams on your schedule that aren't playing?
Yeah, well, I've joked with, I'm sure they didn't like this joke, but I've joked with several ADs and said, hey, you guys love announcing these series, you know, 15, 20 years ahead of time. Guess what? You got 15 or 20 minutes to redo this year's schedule.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, you're right. So, you know, you're exactly right. And, you know, you asked me a great question. I answer it. And then I have 10 more questions for myself. So imagine what these guys are going through trying to figure this out. You know, one model would be cut out the non-conference games, which, you know, that would obviously be a lesser option than playing 12 games. So let's say we got to cut out the non-conference games. So you don't start till October 1st. Well, even that's tricky. In the month of September, you've got 32 conference games in the Power 5 leagues alone. So now you've got to move those games into October and November and or December. And certainly those conference teams that match up in September, I'm sure, do not have the same open dates in October and November. So you're right, there's no easy fix. One AD told me, you know, look, whatever option we end up with, it's not going to be perfect, and I think that sums it up best. And they're just trying to figure out everything. And again, it all goes back to this: they're waiting for whenever we get the all clear, whenever things can return to normal, so they know which plan to put in place.
Brett McMurphy from Stadium is with us. So, how much do you think that this will affect the decision of some of these players that know they're going to be a high NFL draft pick? You know, could you see more players, especially if the season is delayed, and depending on how far it's delayed, if they're like, you know what, I'm just going to sit this one out and go with the draft stock that I have and get ready for the NFL?
Well, I think if it's delayed to October, I don't think it will impact the student athletes at all. But if it's moved back to the spring, absolutely, you're going to have several players they don't play. I mean, if you're Trevor Lawrence and you're projected number one pick in the draft, and you sit there and look at the schedule and you see week 9, you're supposed to be playing at NC State, and that's also the same week as the NFL draft, are you really going to play this year? Probably not. So, but again, it's better than the alternative of not having any football, but certainly I'm sure a lot of high projected NFL draft picks would just sit out the season if it doesn't start until January or February.
Do you think that if that happens, let's say they play a spring schedule and you have play, obviously this is a unique circumstance, and so you have players that sit out, do you think that's something that college football can come back from, or does it open Pandora's box and you have more and more players that may skip out on their last year of eligibility if they know they're going to be a high pick no matter what?
No, I think it's just based strictly on the fact that the season would start so late. I mean, you know, Tua Tagovailoa, what if he has that same injury in a season that started in February? Well, he wouldn't have been drafted number 5 overall. So I just think this is a one-year deal. I don't think it's going to impact college football long-term at all.
Do you think that this could have some impact on coaching decisions? If there's a coach that is currently sitting on the hot seat, this could more or less buy him some time because the university doesn't want to make as big of a change with all this uncertainty?
Well, I think with all the financial stuff going on, certainly universities are not going to want to, you know, have to pay these exorbitant buyouts, which obviously they've been doing a lot in the past. So then if you couple that with a season that starts in February, that, you know, we could have the national semifinals and the title game around Memorial Day, and then the next season only starts two or three months later, you know, maybe ADs decide not to make any changes because of that short turnaround. I mean, imagine that, a world in college football for 1 year where nobody's on the hot seat.
They'll figure out a way to still get them on the hot seat. That's how it works. Brett, thanks so much for the visit. We'll see you on Zoom for SEC Media Days.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
All right, thank you.
It's going to be a big old Zoom.
It is going to be a big old Zoom. Brett McMurphy with the Stadium, and we do appreciate him joining us. We'll talk about what you just heard, where this is going on the other side. Darren, Donnick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.